Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, The Truth Straight Up, with Julie Hayden, that's me, and Chuck Bonnewell. He will be joining us here a little bit later. Couple programming notes. At the bottom of the hour, here in about 30 minutes, we're going to have a candidate for the Republican Party chair position, Joe Altman, on the show. Next Monday, we're going to have another candidate, Jerry Goodall, on the show as well. And let me just say, if there are any other candidates out there who would like to come on our show, this is an open invitation. Just pretty much everybody knows how to get hold of me, so just get hold of me and we'll get you on the schedule. So we'll be talking about that here in a little bit, but in the meantime, all kinds of stuff going on. On Monday, we had Eric Goodall, Eric Grossman, the acting chair of the party, on to kind of update people on everything. And one of the things that we were kind of waiting and we expected to have a decision, and we do, regarding the opt-out. And it's not really the opt-out, regarding closing the primary, the upcoming primary, so the ballots were only mailed to Republicans if they were registered Republicans. That came, to catch up to speed, we've been suing over the opt-out for years. And earlier this month, the judge handed us like a miracle and basically said that the 75% threshold required to opt out was unconstitutional. Yay. Now, the state central committee members have already voted three times, always overwhelmingly, to opt out of the disastrous open primary, although never hitting that 75%. So lawyers for the party went ahead and filed a motion, I think like last week, asking the judge to go ahead and tell Jenna Griswold that since we had wanted to close the primary, to just send ballots in the Republican primary to registered Republicans. Well, it was a long shot. And the judge just, I think yesterday, issued a ruling denying that. Now, the judge did not rule, and this is interesting, the judge didn't rule on the merits of our arguments. The judge simply said it's a June primary. Literally in like 2 weeks, the Secretary of State has to start mailing out ballots for overseas and military people. The other ballots go out in June. The primary itself is in June, and the judge said that it was just his opinion in his ruling that there just wasn't enough time to do this in an organized way. It just wasn't going to work. That was certainly not a surprise to me, or Chuck, and he'll be here again in a few minutes, and he'll weigh in on this too. I think if the judge wanted to have ordered that, he could have ordered that when he issued his original ruling some weeks ago, right? And he didn't. But I also think, I mean, the good news there is that he didn't just toss it out and say, you know, I'm not, you know, no, it's not a good argument. That's not what I meant at all. He just simply said the timing isn't right now. Now, who knows what he might do if we bring it up again? I don't think they are going to try to, and I could be wrong on this, or this could change, but I believe the thinking right now is there would not be much point in appealing it. That any appellate court, it's going to take enough time to get there too. The deadline's going to get even crunchier. And so to me, it was a great effort, a valiant effort. And even more interestingly, what it did is it forced the RINOs and the establishment uniparty people in the party, in the Republican Party, to show their true colors. For years, people like Lauren Boebert, Gabe Evans, others, right, have said, oh, no, we think, you know, yeah, the opt-out, that's a good idea. And they kind of vaguely say, yeah, that's a good idea. And they're assuming, of course, that they're never going to have to deal with the reality of it, right? Well, this forced them to come out and oppose it. It is shocking to me that our four congressionals, Lauren Boebert, Jeff Hurd, Jeff Crank, and Gabe Evans, all sent letters to the judge taking Jenna Griswold's side. Now, just think about this, right? So they complain about us calling them a RINO, Republican in name only. But not only, particularly Jeff Hurd, do they vote with the Democrats way too often. In this case, they actually sided with the corrupt Democrat Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, over the will of their fellow Colorado Republican Party members. The Colorado Republican Party members have made it clear repeatedly, overwhelmingly, that they think it's a good idea to have the Democrats stop meddling in our primaries, to have the unaffiliated voters stop meddling in our primaries, and to go ahead and let Republican voters vote in the Republican primary. As we've said before, it's kind of like letting the Raiders and the Chiefs pick our starting quarterback for the Broncos. You would never do that because they don't have your best interest at heart, right? And this forced them to file a motion in court siding with Jenna Griswold. It forced other people to come out of the woodwork and say, no. And I won't go through all the Facebook postings and Signal chat groups, but all of the people who came out and said, oh, no, we can't possibly close a primary. We certainly don't want to close a primary. We'll be isolating and disenfranchising unaffiliated voters. It is, as Eric Grossman pointed out, it's kind of like saying, well, we consider the illegal immigrants' rights more important than your rights, American citizens. This is like these people are saying, the rhinos and the uniparty established people are saying, we consider the rights of the unaffiliated voters and the Denver voters more important than the rights of the Colorado Republican voters. Because keep in mind, to affiliate, okay, it takes like 30 seconds on the website. If you really legitimately want to vote in a Colorado Republican primary, all you have to do is go to the Secretary of State's office and click Republican. Boom. And then if you don't want to stay Republican after the election, which is like 2 months from now, you could go ahead and then go back and become unaffiliated or Democrat or whatever you want to become, right? The judge himself, in the original ruling where he threw out the 75%, acknowledged that the unaffiliated voters were taking control of the Republican Party, as were the Democrats. He acknowledged that there was meddling going on. And to the people who would argue, well, we need to cater to the unaffiliated voters, I think, and the recent, and Eric Grossman talked about this on Monday, there are numbers, especially out of Arapahoe County, where somebody did the hard work and figured all of this out. So there was roughly 27 in the last election cycle for president, right? Roughly 27,000 unaffiliated voters in Arapahoe County cast ballots in the Republican primary, okay? So they cast ballots in the Republican primary. But then when it came time for the general election, did those same 27,000 voters then vote for Trump? Which would make sense, right? If they were sincerely trying to have Trump be the candidate, so they voted in the Republican primary, you'd think they would then vote for Trump in the general election. But they did not. Roughly half of them voted for the Democrat candidate. Now, we don't know who, but the numbers show that out, right? So that's proof right then and there that they are not sincerely, legitimately, well, it's not illegitimate, but they're not sincerely voting in the Republican primary because they really care about, you know, having that Republican get elected. No, they are voting in the Republican primary in order to cause shenanigans, to cause chaos, to try to influence it. And the best word we can use is meddle. So that's why we need to close it. It was a valiant effort by the Colorado Republican Party lawyers to try to convince the judge to tell Jenna Griswold to just send ballots to Republicans and for the Republican primary. The judge denied it, but I guess what I would call sort of the fight goes on, right? The opt-out lawsuit continues. And we'll be asking Joe Altman where he stands on that, because I'll be honest, for me, I'm not a big litmus test person, but that's certainly one of them. But it did force the other people to show their true colors. You couldn't have it both ways right now. You couldn't say, oh, on one hand, oh, yeah, I'm for the opt out. And then on the other hand, say, oh, but that's still send ballots to unaffiliated voters and Democrats. Right. So that's that. And there'll be much more on that to come. And we'll keep you posted on how the lawsuit goes. I would say, though, that's one of the reasons why the upcoming Republican Party chair vote on May 30th is so important, because I think there are probably some chair candidates who do not support the opt out. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I think this is kind of fun. It was kind of fun yesterday. So we've seen, now I don't know if it's just a coincidence that it's that Pam Bondi is gone. I don't know if, just the timing is the timing. But since Pam Bondi's been gone, all of a sudden we've got the Southern Poverty Law Center getting indicted. We had Morin's, the guy who was sort of a an advisor to Dr. Fauci, gets indicted for lying and covering up fraudulently producing or not producing emails regarding COVID. And then James Comey gets indicted as well over the whole seashell thing. I want to talk. I'm glad you're here, Chuck. There are two different.
I'm glad to be here, Julie.
All right, there are two different kind of things.
Yes, sorry, but I just bought a new used car and had some adventures already with it. A nice Porsche Panamera Turbo, but
adventures continue. Anyway, we were talking about this before. I think there are kind of two things. With the Comey indictment, this was over the seashells, right? 86-47. And Todd Blanche and Kash Patel in their news conference yesterday indicated that there's a lot more to it than just snapshots of the seashells. So we'll see as information comes out on that. Personally, I'm okay with it just because it makes Comey's life miserable. I don't have a problem with it. If they just want to keep indicting, the same way they did to Trump, right? If they just want to keep indicting Comey, I'm cool with that. On the Morons guy,
I'd much more prefer them to indict Comey on something they'll probably convict him on. And in fact,
like what though?
Like the incredible conspiracy that he, Obama, and everyone else engaged in to make sure that Trump couldn't have
full term. I'm not sure that it's clear that they're not going to.
Well, they are going to. There's no doubt there's a grand jury in Miami.
Why not just throw a bunch of stuff at him?
Because you lose and you lose and you lose.
Okay. Well, yeah, we disagree on that. I just think it makes him miserable. And it's kind of fun to see Comey get arrested and have a mugshot.
Well,
I mean,
that's fun, but yeah. But he's got to bear in the world to pay for his legal fees. And like most people, you get indicted by the Justice Department if you're a Republican, if you're part of J6, it bankrupts you.
Right.
In fact, we had a guy on just the other day who almost became Speaker of the House
that
was bankrupted by them doing that.
And the other one, though, involving the COVID emails and the origins and things like
that. That's a great indictment.
That, I think, I mean, I was seeing some people saying, well, why don't they go after Fauci? This is my guess. And I think the conservative treehouse is right, that they're going after him first, and then they'll go after Fauci. One of the problems they have with Fauci is that Joe Biden gave him a forever and ever pardon.
For everything.
Like, he could go out and commit mass murder, and he's still pardoned.
Well, could have, during the, you know, up to the point of the pardon. No, you can't commit murder today.
Hunter got a pardon forever. But my guess is that what they want to do is just build such a strong case against Fauci, and they'll probably use this guy to do it, right? I don't know. He's a scientist. Scientists are not, I think, like mafiosa types where they'll go to prison and risk everything rather than be arrested.
Well, he won't have to risk it. He's 82 years old.
The Morin guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my guess is he'll roll over on Fauci pretty quickly. I mean,
they wouldn't have died in it. He wasn't willing to, at least originally.
Well, we'll see. That would be my guess, though, is that's what they're.
I was truly going to try.
Yeah.
Idea.
That would be my guess that they're. So I think for people, I would be patient about Fauci, right?
The one I'm impatient about, because, you know, with Trump, they waited too long. They waited till almost after the 2 years, and now they're doing the same thing. And I think Trump realized that he fired, you know, Blondie, who was, you know, good PR but an awful attorney. And they're I'm sure they're rushing because they've got to, because everything will try to slow down for the to a new president.
Sure. Well, yes, they'll throw everything at it, but I think
they'll have the assistance of it. You know, I don't know, down in Miami or not. Federal judge.
In the meantime, they raided like 20 of those
yes.
Somali things. I mean, there does seem to be of a sudden
a
lot of things happening.
Yes.
And I think all of it is kind of piling on the red pilling of America, right? All of a sudden you've got James Comey. I'm sure they were clearly hinting. Remember, because this came out about the same time his new book came out, right? And the shell incident, right? And apparently part of the indictment references sort of that the proceeds, he cannot reap the proceeds of something. And so there's some thought, and my guess is they might have emails, my hope is, I guess I should say, they have emails or some kind of correspondence that confirms this, that somewhere along the line, Comey talked about doing this as a publicity stunt, and not to mention threatening to kill the president. You know, and on that, we were talking, like you, I agree, and we can move, this kind of goes into the ABC, Jimmy Kimmel, FCC thing. There is free speech, obviously, you know, I'm a firm believer in that, worked as a reporter, you know, my whole career. On the other hand, though, I think there is also something to be said for the fact that normally people are sort of, oh, I don't know what. They operate within boundaries, free speech boundaries, because of a sort of cultural societal constraints, right? But anymore, we've got a point where the Democrats actively, worship and idolize and applaud people who say things like kill the president or kill this person or kill that person. And so when you look at this guy, this Cole Allen, I mean, he doesn't seem like you said, you know, he's not crazy. I mean, Greg Gutfeld put it clearly. Yeah, he's hearing voices, but he's not crazy. He's hearing voices from Jimmy Kimmel. He's hearing voices from The View. He's hearing voices from, you know, Hakeem Jeffries, right? When you have one part of the country openly advocating and then celebrating the death of the other part of people in the other part of the country. Yeah, there's free speech, but I mean, to me, it's a tricky area. I mean, it's not so clear cut, right?
Free speech never is. Free speech.
Exactly.
Free speech is the speech you hate.
And what do you do? What do you do when you have three assassination attempts on Trump now, right? I mean, so it's like, okay, it's free speech, but when you have people.
Well, if you want to shut down everybody who. Oh, it's going after Trump. It's a slippery slope.
Right. I agree.
I agree.
But I'm not sure what the actual answer is when normally if you've been in brackets a long time, if you say something that crosses a line, as we well know, there are consequences, right?
Don't cross the line.
Yeah, there are consequences. Yeah. But anymore, because of the liberal, the way the liberals handle things,
given the fact that we got thrown off the air for a semi-lame joke, having a semi-lame joke by Jimmy Kimmel, I wouldn't think he'd be particularly
he should get shut down. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying though that there is. I think it's important to recognize that. To me, anyway, times have changed. And when you have people openly advocating killing the president and killing people on the right, and then applauding people for attempting to do so, that it does more than just fuel crazy people. Right. I mean, this Cole guy, he spewed all of the lies that the Democrats tell over and over and over again. And to me to say, well, it's just free speech, nothing we could do. I don't know. To me, I'm not sure what the answer is, but I just think it's changed. The country has changed, I think, and it's become more dangerous. Saying that, but I'm saying,
what are you saying?
Well, I mean, when people say, you know, President Trump should be killed,
he's, well, that threat against the president is a criminal statute,
right.
So you can indict somebody,
right? You know, and then on to the ABC. This, though, I do think is fun. Again, I go along with the okay, maybe they shouldn't criminally indict him, but what's wrong with torturing them? So, what ABC has done normally. With TV licenses and network licenses, they have to apply for renewal, right? And because there's only so many broadcast waves, they're regulated by the FCC as opposed to streaming, right? Anybody can endlessly stream. So they have to be renewed and they look. I mean, when I worked in radio a million years ago, they would, even way back then, it would be like, is there, you know, diversity programming? Do you show this or do you show that, right? Mm-hmm. Are you fair with elections, et cetera, et cetera? And so ABC typically wouldn't have its license renewal under consideration until 2028 or 2031. But the FCC, because of ongoing things with ABC and Jimmy Kimmel, now says, oh, guess what? We're going to review your license now. We're going to be reviewing your license, your renewal license by May 30th. Okay. It's like, oh, and by the way, we're investigating you too. I mean, it's like, to me, we've long complained about when Republicans have the power, all they do is milquetoast the way around it. I'm glad to see that. That's let ABC sweat a little bit in Disney, right?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, unless we disagree. But to me, and at the very least, it's like indicting Comey. You know what I mean? Let him have his arrest picture shown up there and stuff. And it's not going to change anybody's mind. But I do think it continues to get information out there that, like, number one, hey, look, that's all, you know, if you do, what's a F-A, F-O, you know?
F-O-F-A.
What's it? Fun always. I was laughing. Fun always. But anyway, that's that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, too, and this you probably know more about, but huge Supreme Court rule. We've got about 10 minutes before Joe Ullman. Huge Supreme Court ruling today regarding Louisiana and voting rights and creating essentially minority or black, not even minority, but black only districts, right?
Yes, and it'll mean that, but once again, the trouble is that it's a great ruling. I think throughout the South, they'll be able to undo some districts or just massive gerrymandering for black votes. But it'll be years because all the
litigation. So that's not going to happen like in by 20, you know, in time for the midterms, right?
Well, I think Mississippi is going to try because the governor previously called the session anticipation of this ruling. So maybe they'll try there. Florida's not for this purposes, but for other purposes, DeSantis is going to try to squeeze out four more public districts in Florida. So it's really this, and it's almost an impossible deal. You know, you have these commissions, and the commissions are rigged, and
right,
and
the courts are not rigged,
and,
but
and Virginia's were just a true salamander. you know, they have no continuity, so I don't know really what the answer is to that of getting districts that somehow are fair, because
well, at the very least, though, what they, as my understanding is, yes, that'll go on, I'm sure, but at least this took away one overt way of doing it,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Yes, there are districts throughout the South that require that you construct a black majority district, however you want to do it. Pretty amazing.
Well, will that have any impact, you think, in Colorado?
No, they're no racially. You have to understand we have a very small black population.
Well, I was going to say, and it only applied to black population, right? It didn't apply to Hispanics or blondes or anything like that, right? Okay.
Back when blacks were a majority of the minority, you know, Hispanics are today. But it was all part of the, you know, the great civil rights justification for a lot of things. So that's a great ruling for Republicans, and keep on getting those rulings, and that's tremendous. That's tremendous.
Well, you know, it makes me think about, that's all I'm just trying to think, what if Kamala Harris had won? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If Kamala Harris had won, I think we'd be, who knows? I mean, already you hear people. I mean, Dan Bongino says he's fully aware that they're going to come after him. I mean, I think the Republicans will continue to, or the Democrats will continue to do this. But again, it's like, thank God, like for real, that Donald
Jacob
Trump.
Jacob asking a question. Jacob, what's up?
Jacob.
Hello.
There you go. Hi.
Hi. I just got a quick question. In these emails that they found randomly yesterday from the CC.
Hey, Jacob, you're echoing. I'm sorry.
It says that they knew that they heard. That they heard the process for the COVID would have worked, and that they didn't need the COVID vaccine.
I can't understand.
You're saying that. Yeah, you know what, Jacob? I couldn't understand you. Can you? I know sometimes you have to switch to your other device. Can you maybe do that real quick?
I can't. All right, I'll send you an email.
Okay, just send me the text there, and we'll take a look at it.
Sorry about that.
Oh no worries. We appreciate you chiming in. You know, yeah, the whole COVID thing, I think, is, and Alex Berenson, if you don't follow him on X or in Substack, you should, because he does a great job talking about, you know, I mean, it's good to see that they are at least beginning to hold some people accountable for that, right? And I think we will never know, I suspect, the full truth. I was reading Alex, somebody was, maybe this is what Jacob is referring, that the COVID scheme didn't actually work because then we would all be dead, right?
Yeah.
that it got released or something. But I'm glad to see they're going after him and for trying to cover it up. Because again, if think about this, before Trump was elected, before Elon Musk took over on Twitter, we would probably, our show would be banned for even saying sure. that, right? Sure. I mean, we
got thrown off of YouTube for what?
For saying that children shouldn't have to wear masks.
Democratic governor of Colorado, and they threw us off.
Right. I mean, you couldn't talk about anything. And so right. You think of how far we've come, and you think of how if Donald Trump had not won, the Republic or the Democrats would have simply geared up to crush everything even further.
I think it would be the end of the Republic.
Yeah, it would not have been good. One other thing too, before Joe Altman comes on, then one, and I told the guests, you didn't know this, we've got Jeremy Goodall is coming on Monday.
Oh, great.
Okay. This I think is funny. Once again, the city of Denver is like living in its own fantasy world. So the pavilions in downtown, right? Kind of on the, kind of by this, the upper part, I don't know what you call it, sort of the upper part of-
Toward Union Station.
The other way.
Was it?
The pavilions is kind of toward- The Capitol.
Brown Palace.
The Brown Palace, right, exactly. I remember when it opened. It was the coolest thing.
It had an ESPN sports lounge.
They had a Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah, they had all kinds of cool shops. And it was kind of this cool outdoor but still kind of covered area.
It was
really cool.
Happening.
Right. Well, now all of a sudden, they've got their design people are saying the city apparently purchased it, right? Or portions of it, and the Downtown Development Authority.
The Downtown Development purchased it, not Denver.
I thought I saw the city purchase. Okay, maybe I'm wrong there. But at any rate, and so they hire these consultants to tell them, okay, what should we do with it? And they're like, yeah, it just sucks.
There's no use for it.
It's no use.
This thing sucks.
It's totally obsolete. It's
like, no, you can't get better tenants because there are no tenants. You just need to tear it down to turn it into a park. All right.
And they talked about, well, maybe we could, they said, you do have a lot of good parking spaces.
Yeah, that's underground. Underground, save those because there's no parking in downtown.
Right, exactly. You never know. But
that's going to be a real cash flow item for you. Well, the rest of it, never mind.
And they're like, kind of talking as always do, oh, well, maybe we'll build housing. But here's the point, is living in the places anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And here's what Denver doesn't get. There is the reason no one goes downtown is because downtown sucks and it's dangerous because the city's outrageous wage laws. Well, the homeless problem. They're not even homeless, but the drug problem.
Our
right?
son went down on a school trip and he said, "Boy, I saw more great homeless people. You know, some were nice, some were screaming at us."
That was a concern I had, right? Because they would go to Union Station. They're like, "Oh, please don't go. You know, be careful out there." But it's like Denver has allowed itself, its downtown, to be destroyed. I remember now. This is going back 9 years ago, before I left the TV station, doing stories on the 16th Street Mall, where in the morning they had to wash it down because the homeless people slept in the doorways, and then they urinated and defecated and all of that kind of stuff, right? And so it's like, you know, that was a problem then, and under Johnson it only got worse. Yeah. So now, you know, and then COVID, and that, you know, the government of Denver said, "Oh, we're going to close everything except the liquor stores and the pot shops," right?
And the big retail.
And the big retail stores, right?
All small businesses.
Small business is gone. So they destroyed that. It's dangerous to go down there anymore. There's nothing open again because of the ridiculous regulations the minimum wage law, which is, you know, not minimum. Nothing minimum about it. And then they're wondering, what can we do with it? And they're like, nothing. And they're trying to make it sound good. That it's going to be a park. Here, let me read this just in case this is something. Okay. Keep going. You carry the show there, John.
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to carry the show here. Denver's ability to drive people like Palantir out of town and other businesses and corporations. Remax just decided.
Remax is going to Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Oh, we'll have still a presence here in Colorado. Okay.
Well, Remax is for sale signs.
Still have those.
Well,
I mean, people can't leave here fast enough, and then we have a budget that's just a joke. Oh, we're going to have to cut some service. Oh no, don't do that. Just keep on hiking the taxes.
Yeah, you know, they aren't going to cut Medicaid services to illegal immigrants.
Oh, can't
you know? Yeah, they're not.
You're just so hard, are
they? No, they're not going to, like, you know, again, Mayor Johnson, way back when, was like, you know, they had a year and a half ago, they had so many illegal immigrants coming in. They were closing rec centers to citizens.
Yeah.
So they could all stay there. So it's just ridiculous. And so then they're like, and they're trying to make it sound good, like downtown Denver needs another park.
Well, it could actually use another park, but it also could use some other things.
But it had to be safe to go there.
Because that's the only thing it's good for, you know, homeless housing and downtown and parks they can sleep in, outdoor and indoor.
All right. All right.
We got Joe Altman. He's a candidate for the chair of the Republican Party, one of the most challenging jobs in the state. He dropped out of the governor's race. And quite frankly, at least for a Republican, I think he's in the more consequential race. And I think there are four candidates, but he's certainly one of, if not the leading candidate. Joe, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about your campaign, how it's doing, how you're looking. May 30th, Julie and I are bonus members, so we get to vote too. So tell us how your campaign's going and what you're looking forward to on May 3rd. There's going to be proxy voting, which I always think is an incredibly corrupt process, but, you know, you got to take that into effect.
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot through this entire process, and some good, some bad. The reality of it is that the Republican Party is in a state of nearly disrepair.
Yeah.
It's nearly $400,000 in the hole.
400, what, next year, 150?
Yeah, there's some issues. And Eric's doing a pretty good job of kind of sorting through that. And there's lawyers involved. And there's obviously a couple $100,000 in fees and legal fees. And most of the budget for the Republican Party over the last 6 years has gone towards lawyers. So it's the reason why we really haven't had a functioning party that's able to support the counties at all. So,
well, I've been part of the executive committee and others, and certainly Chrissy Burton Brown, she spent very little money on, gave money to Chris Murray, but not anything else. She refused to challenge anything. So,
but he made a lot of money. But anyway, so go on. Anyway, yeah.
No, I mean, look, there's three things that I think are fundamental to running a successful party into the future. One, we have to start understanding what our mission is. And far too often the Republican Party has created these factions that they're their guiding light going forward. But typically that doesn't favor anyone in the community. So we have never sent anyone back to the community to talk to people who are Republicans and ask them what they truly need. And if it's supposed to be representative of the Republicans that are out there in our state, we should be asking those questions. And the idea of doing no harm, the Republican Party has long been the party that supported the community. And whether you're a Republican or Democrat or an independent, it takes the values, the ethical values that we have, and it presses those forward in order to make the community better and safer for everyone. But we haven't held true to those values. Matter of fact, we spend more time fighting each other than we do actually trying to create standard operating procedures, which lead to us having a strategic plan. And we haven't run it like a company or an organization that frankly should be flourishing, especially given all the missteps that the Democrats have taken over the last, 5 to 10 years. So, in going out there, I'm having conversations with lots of different people. And I think that we have a real good opportunity to capture all of Colorado, all 64 counties. I think we can literally win the majority for Republicans in all 64 counties. And people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I'm having conversations with independents and with Democrats that are largely been betrayed by the process of what's happening in Colorado. And they're starting to wake up to this idea that, hey, can we have a people's party? Can we have a party that focuses center on what the people in Colorado need? And so I built a plan for 90 days and I built one for 6 months and 1 year. I've spent an enormous amount of time over the last 3 weeks going out and talking to donors, people that have left the party for, 15, 20 years. And they're all saying the same thing. Joe, if you're not the chair, I don't see how they're going to be able to come back from this. And as a result, these people, this is kind of like the last hurrah. Even for me, it's the last hurrah. Like, hey, Joe, if you're able to do these things, great. We'll give you our money. But this is it. This is the last chance that we have. So we're in a unique space where the Democrats and independents are paying attention to what the platform is for the Republicans. And on our side, we've got to be able to undo this debt that we have, regain the trust of donors and Republicans across the board, and make ourselves attractive so that independents and Democrats will want to come over. And you'd say, Joe, I don't want Democrats. Well, we don't want some of the Republicans we have either.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let's talk about let's talk about two things. One, Rita signed a confession of judgment. We have a judgment presently against us for $25,000 with her lawyer, and 18% interest. That will basically mean there is no party unless that's overturned. So we better get some lawyers working.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me finish this. And so that has to be overturned or there is no party. Secondly, your speech is quite frankly very similar to the one that Christy Burton Brown gave, was it now 4.5 years ago, almost identical. She tried to say, okay, no factions. And then she quickly went over to what's called the establishment faction. There's one great dividing line in the Republican Party, and that's who can vote in Republican primaries. If you want to be able to have independents and Democrats, which I think some people do, or at least independents, then you'll get one type of candidates. You will get Barb Kirkmeyers. You will get very moderate Republicans. If you have another type of system where the only Republicans vote in it, you'll get ones with much more Republican ideals. But that's a great line, and that's, and you know, I don't know how you're going to be able to walk between and keep those two groups together, because when you fall for one, the other will, you will absolutely lose the other. And that's almost inevitable, maybe.
So let me, I think that deserves a response, right?
Sure, please.
And I think that, I think we look at this very similarly, but very different. One, I run a company with 235 employees. We'll do over $140 million in revenue. So I have to keep a lot of people happy all the time. And the average tenure in my company is about 7 years. The first 8 people to be with my company are still there 14 years later. You know, I'm a hard guy to work for because I expect results and I expect people to do what they're paid to do. So two things can be true at the same time. One, I believe that the primary should be closed. End stop. Period. End stop. I believe that if you're a Republican and you're part of the club, you could actually vote for the Republican part of the club. And the fact that independents are being, you know, forbidden to vote in Republican primaries, well, if you lean that way, let's give them a party that's desirable enough that they want to be a part of that party, a part of that club. We haven't done that. We've done a terrible job. We spend all of our time lying and creating character out of disagreement. So if we have a disagreement, all of a sudden they have terrible character. And I find that preposterous, frankly. It doesn't show a level of maturity that I'm used to in the business world. And, you know, I have to deal with people who are on the left all the time. I'm in tech. I have a couple tech companies. And so for me, I look at it very differently from the perspective of everyone needs to cut it out. Whatever it is that our platform is for the Republican Party, and by the way, you can ask 20 Republicans, and I have, and you get 20 different answers.
Yeah.
So no one really knows what the platform is. And so once we get past that, we can have everybody sit down at the table, and I'm going to make sure that these are paid positions inside the party as well. And frankly, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to raise a lot of money and I'm going to bring in young people. I'm going to bring in so many young people, it's going to look like a young person's convention. And nice. I'm not going to,
nice.
I'm not going to call them young Republicans either. They're Republicans. If they're old enough that they can fight for us over in war and run onto the beaches of Normandy, they sure as heck can be considered full-fledged Republicans, and we can give them a seat at the table and let them fail forward. I'd rather a 25-year-old or 28-year-old fail forward than somebody that's in their 60s that frankly is telling everyone that they're the smartest guy in the room. At least let the 25-year-old get stuff done and push it towards some progress. And then when he fails, let's not do what we did to the Republicans in New York, where we then report it to the left-wing rag and have them for saying homophobic or racist comments, whatever they did. And we basically pushed out 35 or 40 people out of the Republican Party for making a mistake.
You have one of your biggest supporters is one of the biggest bomb throwers, and probably is more unpleasant online than any human being has ever known, in Natalie Tennant. I'm not sure how you're going to exactly.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
okay, let's talk about that.
let's talk about that.
They support keeping the primary open. They support getting rid of the caucus and assembly system. So how do you?
And yet they know that I'm for closing the primaries completely, and yet they're still supporting me. I've had this conversation with lots of people, and they're like, well, how does this person support you? And how does this person support you? And I went, listen, a lot of people on every side support me. And the reason why they support me is because we might not get to a conclusion that they like. I'll respect them. I'll listen to them. But we're going to have to do what the party wants us to do. We have to respect the CRC. We got to respect the exec committee. I want the executive committee to have more teeth. I want it to have the ability to guide and direct and have, you know, equal seats at the table so we can start having dialogue. So the reason why they want me there is because of how strong I've been and what I've done for the last 20 years. I'm not a soft guy. I mean, I think you guys know that about me.
Yes.
I'm soft when I need to be soft, and I'm hard when I need to be hard. That's a dictation of leadership. But the other side is sometimes you have to lead, and sometimes you have to submit and let others lead, even when you're the chair, right? And a lot of people haven't realized that it takes an immense amount of humility to walk in the middle of a firing line. That's in essence what this has been over the last 6 years.
Well, I've been on the executive committee at various times. I was elected for the 7th District with KBB and with deeply and so forth. And it's a, as often described, as an advisory committee. You approve the initial budget and you do controversies. Mm-hmm. If in fact they are to have some teeth, you're gonna have to amend the bylaws to have them. And I think it'd be a wonderful idea. You don't want them to mess up. You know, the chairman's got to be able to lead. But, you know, you should have.
But not sign secret deals with their attorney that hand over the money.
Well, that's actually illegal. Even under the bylaws, what she did is not, it's not ethical. And it's not ethical from the standards of being a lawyer either.
No.
He should have known that, right?
Let me pursue that just real quick. And I know you have some other questions, but just while you mentioned it. So because just kind of clarify. So I know because you've said that you would be willing to negotiate with Steve Klenda, but I think that was before this happened. I mean, as of Friday, he can walk in right now and take all the money out of the party and they should get an injunction. If we get
and, and in fact, now we learned that they've been selling every asset they can. The Democratic Party opposing. They liquidated everything they could possibly.
But what would you continue? Because I mean, probably if we get an injunction, then this fight will go on for whoever is chair. Would you continue? I mean, he doesn't have to negotiate with us, right?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He says he could just take our money.
No. The agreement says that 18% interest. He'd have to go get a court order in order to take the money, and at that point, there's other processes and there's other remedies that we have. One. He self-dealt as a lawyer inside of it. He was a lawyer for Britta before he did it. There's all sorts of problems for him, problematic things for him that could result in him being disbarred. So when I say that we want to go in and negotiate things, we want to negotiate in good faith with him and say, listen, take 10 cents, 20 cents on the dollar. I don't want to sit here and fight and spend good money after bad in order to get to a conclusion. Here's 25, here's 30 grand, go away. The rest of it, you're going to have to lick your chops and kind of move on. We're going to tear up the agreement. I don't think that Klenda is the type of person that wants to have a fight. And if we could just get to a place where we're like, look, this was a bad deal for everyone. It didn't work out. Here's your money. Get out the door. Right. And I'd be willing to front that money as well if it's legal. I don't know if it's legal or not, but I'd be willing to put.
You'd have to give it to the IEC and have the IEC give them the money.
You would at least, at the very least, I mean, I think you have to continue the legal actions that they've already got going to try to get this money back, right? I just want to.
Yeah, you have to.
Well, it's not to get the money back because he doesn't really
have
it.
To keep the money.
Well, yeah, he probably owes, you know, if you're going to, you know, you might as well say any money you've taken, which is probably $30,000-$40,000 you owe us.
Listen, we have this problem inside the Republican Party. They're always trying to right wrongs. We know that they're wrong, but we have so many traps inside of the bylaws and how management is operated that it's been justified for so long that ink gets dry and people just continue to do stuff that frankly violates the spirit of law, if not the law itself, right? And so I just want to look at it from the perspective of if we break the rearview mirror off, ignore that stuff, able to solve these issues. And this is the advice that I've given everyone. Just get to the table. And everyone's like, no, there's no way to get to the table. The table's not there. And I'm like, listen, get to the table because the RNC is paying attention to what's happening in Colorado in the GOP. They're paying attention, right? And especially since I've done all the data and I've been able to come out and say, listen, there's an opportunity right now for us to capture all the Republican seats, get back the House and the Senate and the Colorado legislature and do some real damage to capture the hearts and minds of people in Denver, Aurora, and other areas that are impoverished and or in need. So you can't do that, though, if you're out there fighting with yourself and standing over here giving energy to stuff that frankly is water under the bridge. Britta was a bad pick. She didn't have the talent. She didn't have the ability to do the job. They should have known that, right? They should have known that was problematic. But let's be honest. If we go back the last three or four chairs, they haven't raised any money of any consequence.
Dave did.
But
$3 million is not. I'm talking like $15 million, $20 million.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Well, right? Well, without the help of Anschutz and Coors and the Walton Family Foundation and others,
I gave a bunch of money to the Republican Party under Dave. I supported Dave fully.
Okay. Well, but a lot of money is very small amounts of money because the amount you can possibly give is pretty limited.
Well, no. I mean, I did give to IECs and I gave to PACs. I did stuff to honor the party and to do things that would help candidates.
I think one of the reasons why everybody is so enthusiastic about your candidacy is, you know, you're a successful businessman, and you are able to donate money and more attract money. So I think that's an enormous one. And of course, you know, when you set bars high, you know, you've given yourself a high bar when you say 15 million, because the party hasn't seen that kind of funding for a long time. But I think that's why so many people are so excited about your candidacy, because let's face it, I mean, you know, the old phrase is money is the mother's milk of politics, and it really is. You can accomplish nothing in a political arena without money. And so if you can bring that in, that's a huge plus.
And people give money to people who have money. So <Yeah. laughs> it's just like a real thing. Like, I don't know. I call my friends and I'm like, I need your money. And they're like,
I need your money. And they're like, let me ask you this. To me, I think one of the real fights that we're facing, and I don't personally believe there are enough people in the Republican Party who realize this, your Phil Anschutz is, he, and you look at his media, right? The people in his media, John Caldera, Dick Wadhams, the courageous Colorado folks, Kent Theory, I think they have decided, the really rich people in Colorado, we're not even going to deal with open primaries, closed primaries. Yeah. We're going to go straight to a totally open primary.
Jungle primary.
Your thoughts on, and I think that's where we're going. Their stated goal is to do it by 2030, right? To just have one big primary. Yeah, California.
Well, I'm going to wreck that then, because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to stay within the process we have because it hasn't been functional or working well in the last decade. So how do you know if you're not using it? And most of our degradation has happened over this last decade. So let's get to a place where we actually can see what we have first. And by the way, all the elections are fraudulent. Right. So the idea is chaos favors the op, never favors the people. And whether we're talking about Kent Theory or we're talking about Anschutz, they, you know, those are the kiss the ring type of relationships that you have to have. You have to go in and say, listen, this is not what the people want. Right. Yeah. If you want to honor what the people want to have transparency in their election systems, and they don't want to have to knock on their belly and rub on their head a couple times to figure out who's ultimately the winner. So let's make it transparent. Let's make it simple. This doesn't have to be difficult. And get away from, because another thing that they're trying to push towards is this ranked choice voting, which basically only favors wealthy people. So if you're wealthy, you can pick and choose whoever you want. You can put two or three candidates in there, muddy the waters, and steal whatever elections you want, just like Murkowski up in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Good point.
Well, so let me ask you this. Is it possible then, do you think? Everybody comes in and they're like, we're gonna heal, we're gonna be unified. And the problem is everybody has their little fiefdoms, their little point of view, or they want to argue about bylaws. I mean, what do you say to that?
I'm not trying to heal anything. I'm gonna tell everyone to rub some dirt in it. Let's go. Like, we have zero time to sit around and talk about spilled milk, right? We have to get to getting the work done. And I think that's one of the problems is we have not been tactical. We've been this soft, everyone wants to get to my vernacular. I call someone retarded. They're like, Joe, you can't use that word. I'm going to use that word, right? You don't get to own that word. Well, that's you know, talking badly about disabled people. No, it's not. It's talking about stupid people. And people need to stop being stupid, right? And they go, oh, Joe, you're just hurting my feelings. I'm going to hurt people's feelings, right? But I'm also going to listen. Like, so I've had a lot of people call me, a couple of people call me that don't like me. They're like, they started the conversation with, I don't like you. And I was like, okay, tell me why you don't like me. And I let him talk for 15 minutes. And I was like, well, it sounds like you actually like me, because everything you just said is all things that I support. And you're able to turn it around and then say, well, you know, they don't want Darcy, or they don't want Jason, or they don't want. And I go, who are you electing as the chair? You think I'm going to run this by committee? I'm going to run it like an organization. I'm going to get advice from people around me. I'm going to bring people in that are from different factions. They're either going to play nice with each other, or they're going to get the hell out. Right. But we're going to be very tactical, and we're going to get good people elected, and we're going to support the candidates that we currently have. And we're going to stop this backdoor dealing stuff that we've been doing in the party for the last decade that allows for mean girls to keep to thrive. Right. And it's actually the people that are, it's actually the people in the party that are passive aggressive that I have the most problems with, because they then act like they're the victim while they stand back and take and stab people. And it's just, right. It's unbecoming of being a human being to actually do that. And they think that it's...
I think I could identify a few people in the Republican Party.
What's that?
That category.
The same with all the chat groups. It's like, no, I believe in free speech. I didn't really mean that, but...
Yeah. No, I want people to have the ability to get their frustrations out. Look, people are scared. They're hurt. Hurt people hurt people, right? and they misinterpret things that are said by people all the time. But fundamentally, we have to get to a place where we're willing to have conversations about what tactically has to be accomplished in order to save our state and save the country. We can't be having conversations about the fact that they're grooming children and taking away parental rights and doing that over here while I'm over here taking care of all this stuff inside the party to keep people from wanting to punch each other in the throat. And so they pass all this stuff over here. It's super selfish to be over here talking about personalities when we're trying to save our children. Right, we should be looking that direction, not looking this direction. If they want to shoot at each other, they can shoot each other off the plantation. Just go over there, do whatever you want, but you're not going to do it. My watch.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you coming on. You've articulated a wonderful position, and we look forward to your speech on May 30th. Because I think that one's really going to be a lot of people coming in who. Maybe haven't really committed. I've never seen an election with some more uncommitted people. So I think the presentation will be incredibly important.
Well, I think, I mean, just if I can say this.
Sure.
Look, I don't want to do this any more than I wanted to run for governor. And the only reason I did this over running for governor is if I can fix the foundation of the Republican Party in Colorado, we can have prosperity like we've never had before, because we'll have the ability to capture all those positions by making promises to the community that I think is important to them. Opportunity deserts, food deserts, education deserts, and some of the, 20% of people, they're Democrats, Republicans, are running away from public school. So I should tell you everything we need to know about the ethos of people being captured and or felt like they're trapped in environments that they can't get out of, which is why other people are just leaving the state. So the whole idea of doing this, and the reason why I'm willing to do it for free, is because my kids are grown. So it doesn't really affect me, but it will affect my grandkids. It'll affect them if they decide to stay in this state long into the future. And I think we have an obligation with the success that we've had in order to give back to the next generation, or at least hand off that baton to that generation in such a way that we've done well, that we've served them well. And right now, I don't feel like we've done that.
Well, I own a few companies and I employ people, and I must say, when somebody comes into my for me to be employ them, and they say I don't want your job, I don't usually hire them. So I want you to want this job. I want you to say I want this job, and I'm going to make it the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. So I mean, look, it's a backhanded way of saying that I'm not coming into this for money. I'm not taking it for. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have 8 million people to watch my podcast. If I really want to reach more people, I just spend money to get 10 million or 12 million or 15 million. My company is super successful, and so I'm not really in a place where. I have any sort of needs, but I want to help the party. I want to help good people be good people. And I want to help them have a place that where they have a soft landing, innovation hub. We bring in new blood. And I want young people to really feel like this is something they can latch onto, and that this is a model we can use in all 49 other states.
That's it.
All right.
That's,
we got it.
Thanks so much. Thanks for coming on. Somebody said I may see you Saturday night, but we'll see about that. But I think
I'll see you Saturday night if you're talking about this event that we're having.
Wish you the best.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Wish you the best.
All right, bye.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right, and thank you to Joe Ullman. Everybody, just a reminder, Jeremy Goodall will be on Monday. And thank you to everybody else, and we'll see you all on Monday.
All right, everybody, take care.